That's right, bitch. Like, I'm not trying to hurt him, but don't come up to me with your emotional charade. It's supposed to want me to pick it up for you.
And that's how we start tonight. Don't forget to come pick up your goddamn feelings. Ain't no feelings over here.
That's right. Like,
it's an emotional journey.
No, forget to come.
Welcome to the Fellas Point of View podcast. We are back.
Welcome, y'all. Welcome, y'all.
And they tell people.
Even the ones in the back, we love you. Thank you for coming.
Like, the conversation of the day is, if you can't pick up your own feelings, why in the hell are you trying to put it in somebody else's arms?
Oh, my. Jasmine Sullivan, honey, you done got these folks in an uproar.
Babe, I ain't trying to... Look, don't hand me your damn JanSport backpack with your damn feelings that I'm sitting here trying to haul my shit.
Who the hell still carry a JanSport?
Exactly.
Do they still make those?
I think so.
Yes, they do.
They do. Oh. Yes.
Oh, I ain't carried one of them since I was 16, 17.
That's the hell no.
You gotta go online and find them.
Honey, we carry Coach now. We carry real bags. We don't care. It has a name on it. It's called Coach.
Couch. It's a couch.
Oh, she's bougie. She's bougie.
Well, you know what? Couch. You know what? Nowadays, everybody can afford to be bougie because they all these new
okay, so, payment
systems.
But see, the reason why you carry the good stuff is because if you carry JanSport, you know every other 6 weeks you had to get a new backpack because it ripped. So all the money that you invested in that cheap shit, you might as well go on and buy some real shit.
Don't forget to come and pick up. Now you
getting the metaphor now.
That's how you do it. You go buy some new shit.
When you carrying a JanSport with your feelings, bitch, is all busted up and you can't carry that shit right. That's your motherfucking problem. You need to go find you a good bag to hold your goddamn feelings and get them together and stop coming to me with your JanSport like I'm trying to upgrade you to a coach, because, bitch, you need to go sit in your coach and stop coming to me with your feelings, because it cost me a lot of motherfucking money to help get my feelings together.
Oh. Well.
Just saying.
Same, Lamont. Well.
I said, well.
Y'all have been gathered and collected right away.
For context, ladies and gentlemen, I was talking about a guy who came up to me and just literally got in my face about saying he wanted to date me and had not a one good reason as to why he wanted to. He just wanted to. And no idea.
The man can't have a need.
No, that's all he came to was needs. It's like, I was like, well, so far what you showed me is that you're not ready. I'm not saying you're not a bad person. You're a bad person. You're just not good for me right now.
Right now.
There's a comedian who said that sometimes you get into that place where you should have been passing in life.
Oh, okay, for passing.
Oh yeah, a comedian said that on Netflix. I forgot his name. I'll look it up before the end of the show and tell y'all. But it's really good. That's a damn good line. Like, sometimes, bitch, baby, you dating the person you should have been passing in life.
Child. Oh, and that comedian is Dion Cole. That's him. Is hilarious.
Hilarious.
I love how he gave us the definition to slap. Love it.
The definition of slap was slap.
Yep. Walmart. Sounds like a plan. Yep.
Sounds like a plan. Okay. Uh-oh. Well, so there's a couple of things on the docket I do want to start. I want to start with, we want to definitely send our prayers out to DMX, because DMX, he suffered an overdose. And this one may be the one that might take him out of here. So there he's.
Baby, it ain't a may. As of them tests that was conducted yesterday, it's looking very, very grim. They put it in the hands of the family, unfortunately.
People,
leave the drugs alone. How many overdoses do you have to see before you put it down?
But you know what? But to know what y'all, it is a deeper conversation that is like, we need to start talking about why we got our faces in front of these drugs in the first place. And the thing, that's a long conversation, and it starts with just actually having the conversation, period. Like, it may not, you may not come from a time period where you were cool with talking about all that stuff, but you know what? This is for your very survival, because those vices, you know what? They are temporary fixes that can get, they could increase short-term status on your life. You know, the more of a good thing that you come to, the closer you are to your death. And so, and the one thing that can stand between is your truth and sort it out. And so I know it's hard, y'all, but I'm saying, like, I got my own family who deals with narcotics, and I, you know, I'm not going to be up here and speak on my family's business like that, put them on Front Street, but I do have it in my family, and it's a really bad struggle. And I know some of the reasons why they went to where they went with it. So, y'all, like, I know it, like, if that's all it takes is just to start with a hard conversation, maybe have that hard conversation than the hard death.
Well, there y'all have it. Make sure you have some conversations with your family.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's such a sad thing that he's such a talent.
Yeah, man.
He bumped his music. I was running around him. Rough Rider. Rough Rider. Yeah, baby. And y'all know we love
these
him.
These young artists are
standing. But he don't eat ribs, and he don't eat. But he's bumping Rough Rider. Go ahead, Chris.
I know.
Lamar, I am so glad you came down this street, bro. I'm so glad you came down. I'm like, what? You like DMX?
I like
bumping Rough Rider.
Bumping Rough Rider and never been to a
bar. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind, but he can't
y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here. Yeah, yeah. I love me some DMX, baby.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of what got me too, because I was like, I don't know how much more empathy I can have for DMX, but then I had to remember, like, when I was just a wee lad, a little chubby lad, I was definitely playing what is it? Hell is Hot in This. Well, I forget the name of the album. I was playing
it's getting hot in here, so hot.
I was playing the hell out of his album, so I had to muster up a little bit more empathy.
But I think about that. I was like, shoot, we all got our vices that we sit in front of right now, and it is so natural to us that we can't, you know, we don't even know it's a problem, and we know it's a problem, but we don't know how bad it is. Because it don't
call it sugar.
Our reality, you know.
Sugar is my addiction. It's gonna take me out. It's gonna take me out.
Yeah, like we
candy.
The thing is, we all are trying to deal with, level set, and figure out and get up over and around our own demons, and we don't know what demons that, you know. It's so hard to cope with our own source of truth, and that's why I'm trying to be empathetic with it, because I'm like, you know, as much as I can say people just keep on by the drugs, there's a part of you that's like, you're a motherfucking adult and you got to find a break somewhere. And, you know, when the more information, the more research that you have, it's like, where was the fucking ripcord to pull and you didn't? But there's that other half of that story. It's like, you know what? Self-destruction becomes your story.
And it's written, y'all know I'm still here in Oregon, people. I'm still in Coos Bay, Oregon.
Coos Bay.
When I head into the yard, which is, so I'm on one side of Coos Bay, I'm on the east side, and on the west side is what they call the ghetto. And so when you go over there, there is a homeless center where, you know, the homeless gather at. But it's so many of them that are affected with drugs. When I'm driving by, and when we drive by in the bus, you can see them, they saluting the bus as we going by. And then the other day, the man was he was on the ground, laid up, pulled down his pants, showing his ass to every car that came by. And I'm like, is drugs really just got you doing this kind? And then you walk around looking like a clown. He wear all these different colors and all of it. I'm like,
but
that's just the day show.
But you know, and you know what it is? It's a lot of psychological,
Lamar, go to the corner.
And you're just acting out. You're reacting to them. That's
how I mean, I'm not trying to make a joke of it. That's just the day show. You should see night.
Nighttime is worse.
Yeah. And the thing is, that's the reflection of what's going on in that person's head. the bright colors, all that stuff, and you know, it's like, and in a way, you kind of look at it like, are they trying to figure themselves out? Or are they crying for help?
There's a man on the freeway over here, and I see him almost every morning when I'm taking Lewis to work on the on ramp, and he has a sign that says food. And I've literally seen people actually hand him food, and he'll take the food and throw it on the mountain, on the side of the mountain.
Because that ain't what he wants.
Who knows what he wants, but he's got a sign that says food. And I'm like, does he realize his sign says food, not money or something like that? And he'll take the food. And I mean, people will give them like, hand him like their lunches and stuff because they're on the way to work. So they'll hand him sandwiches and cookies and bags of chips and everything. Like he'll take it and throw it. So by the time we come by, there's like food all on the top, on the side of the mountain where he's, I guess he's living there or whatever, but it's like, wow. I mean, to just think about, I mean, really, but by the grace of God, there go I. I could be there with mental issues on the corner with a sign that says love and somebody say, oh, I love you, fuck you, you know, every time they go by. I mean, you just don't know. It's crazy. I mean, you see people on the corner all the time, and I always say, you know, God, don't thank you for keeping my mind, because you see people talking to themselves, talking to the wall, talking to dogs going by, and you know, and then that's another thing that kind of really irritates me. And this has been since when I, in the early 90s, when I was working at LA Mission, I used to see people, homeless people with dogs, and I'm like, how you got a dog? Oh, you homeless?
Tell me, how is that a thing? I'd be so confused.
Because like the thing is that it's dogs are really good at, you know, from its very core, reflecting, you know, the reflection of understanding. And when you're homeless, the one thing that you want and crave the most is immense and internal understanding. So, you know, if you ever notice, but like homeless people, like their dogs are usually treated better than them. They're usually more cleaner than them. They look more fed. They don't look undernourished. You know, you rarely see a dog undernourished with a homeless person.
Right.
Right. So is it a companionship thing? Or,
well, it's because, you know, you're seeing, like, because dogs have an immense ability to reflect that, you know, unwavering compassion that they seek out themselves. And because, you know, you're dealing in a circumstance where you want people to be compassionate for you, you know, for you, but you don't know. It's like, you know, it's like the everyday, all day question is help me help myself, but I don't know how to help myself because the circumstance are, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally, I can't get up over and around to get to where you're at right now, where I'm walking down the street with a Prada bag on. My body, my mind, my spirit is not in that same accord as you. And I don't know how to get there. Your muscle is stronger than mine. My reason why I'm homeless is because my muscle to do what you do on a regular day, everyday basis is not there. Just like some things that I can do, like that bitch probably could take care of dog better than you on your best day.
Right.
And the thing is that's his or her strength. Doesn't mean they're incapable. That just means that that's what they can do. It just means that they're just weaker at other things. Cause I'm just, I've noticed, like, just sitting here on my balcony with, you know, I've seen like the social workers come talk to homeless people, and I'm like, they're like all over screaming and whatnot. And they just sit there and they talk to him, and complete coherent conversations happened. And I would start doing them sometimes. Like there was a guy sleeping in front of my stoop, like in front of my door, like, and I have an electronic door. And I was like, dude, you gotta move. He starts screaming at me, oh my God, you're gonna fuck me. And like, I'm gonna do drugs. Like, what are you gonna do to me? Like, he's like, I don't want your drugs. He was literally screaming and whatnot. And he looked dead at me, and I was like, I understand, sir. I'm sorry, but you have to move anyway. You have 3 minutes to move. I had to go back and revert to talk to him like a parent. And he looked at me and he just stared and he just quieted down and he said, okay, I'm sorry. I'll leave and go back. Do you have any money? And I gave him $5. He's like, thank you so much. I'll leave now, but thank you. And he walked off and literally went quiet. It's because he was in his own reality, but there's some,
I mean, and I mean I get that, because we used to do non-active combative training when I worked at the Mission, where pretty much when you interact with them or whatever, you cannot go where they are mentally. You have to be on the other side of where they are. In other words, don't talk to them crazy, because you're going to get a crazy reaction.
Pretty much.
And then there's actually also, there used to be, I have to see if I can find this book, but there used to be a thing that was called trigger words, where there's certain words that will trigger them to actually go to that headspace where you have to stay away from all that or whatever. And again, I get it. I have, because the human side of me, I have compassion for homeless people, what have you, but they have so many opportunities and so many things that they can get done if they want to abide by the rules, such as there's six here in Los Angeles, there's 16 different missions. They can stay 3 nights at each mission. And then after their third night, they get the opportunity to join their program, the 12-step program, whatever program, whatever, and turn their life around. So a lot of them, they'll stay a night or two and then they'll leave. Or they might stay 3 and they turn their life around. There's a couple of guys that I used to work with or whatever, they used to be homeless. They stayed there, turned their life around, got into the program or whatever, and they go back into their community and try to help other people do it. But it's like, there's so many mental issues. You know, a lot of people say, well, what about with the virus that's going on or whatever? These people aren't thinking about the virus. They're not thinking about anything as far as that's concerned. They're just living their day-to-day life without a care in the world, right. You know? So it's like—
Well, their care is different. Their care, their worry, their perspective of life is different. Not mean they don't care, but they do. But the things that they care, like the amount that you know, care for is a lot different when you're at a different vantage point.
Right.
Yeah, they've got totally different priorities there. Like, you know, they're in basically survival mode. So, you know.
And that becomes an entire life. That becomes an entire lifestyle, just surviving. Because like, just because you're homeless, you can still have possessions, things, taste, you know, points of view, and a whole entire living relationship, multiple relationships. You know, your entire life still keeps going no matter what your circumstances, just your vantage points are different. And, you know, your circumstance and your surroundings will be completely different. But, you know, as a human being, you still have the similar understandings. And it's just that, like, it's just unfortunate we don't know in what context their understanding is that got them to where they're at and what pathway they can create for themselves to get to where they want to get. Not saying we all know that, but it's a longer road and a bigger conversation. And I think it really starts with understanding psychology, you know, of each person, helping each other, you know, find our own version of self-governance and balance. Cause it's a fucking daily struggle. Some days I'm cool. Some days I say, fuck all y'all bitches.
Oh, wow. I don't know. We just, all I say is that we definitely have to pray for folks, because some people are stronger at drugs than others, because there's a lot of, in this world, we have a lot of functioning drug addicts who don't work daily.
Baby, we all are. Like, let's break it down to the real deal, Holyfield. If you take a prescription medication, you are in a regimen of drug use, period. That's a drug. Good or bad drug. It's still a drug. It is not a natural, and it's not a naturally physical derived thing. It is a drug that your body is consuming that it's created a codependency for. So where if you take a pill in the morning or the afternoon, whatever, you are on some drugs.
Vicodin, I'll accept some Vicodin. If y'all prescribe me some Vicodin, I'll gladly take it.
Oh, all right. Oh, okay. Goodie.
I have to pop Motrin to get out this bed in the morning. This bed is a joke. Damn. I need a real bed.
Chris, you gotta stretch before you put that thing up in the air at night. Now,
that's right.
Stretch.
Ain't nothing to stretch because I ain't putting nothing up in the air.
Some Metamucil and stuff and everything.
Metamucil.
it'll help keep your body all cleaned out, so that way you can sleep. Get some probiotics. Keeps your stomach very quiet. So you're not disheveling, you sleep, you can just sleep quietly.
I sleep real good.
It's the waking up and getting out of bed that's the problem.
It'll help you because guess what? The moment you wake up, that bit of music gonna fly right out your butthole into the bathroom.
I was at home sleeping in my own bed. I woke up with no issues. As soon as I got back in this old janky ass bed over here at this hotel, I'm like, damn. I'm like, I need a better hotel. This ain't
working. This man ain't for sleeping now.
Yeah, it ain't for sleeping.
It's for a long nap.
When you have a sleep by number bed, it's hard to sleep in something else. It really is.
Oh my God, Well,
I'm having technical difficulty sleeping in it. Once I got that sleep by number bed, baby, there is no other bed.
Yeah, that, no, you're in a hotel bed. A hotel bed is for a nap.
Oh, you said right. Hotel. Oh,
it's hotel. It's a whole bed. Hostel. You know a whole bed? You know what whole beds do? Whole beds, you take a nap.
Oh, Lord.
Right, because you got to get to the next trip.
Exactly. You take a nap, you sleep off whatever dick you had or whatever night you had or whatever alcohol you wish you didn't have, and you keep it moving the next morning and don't tell nobody about it.
Number 738.
So
now serving.
Now serving. Yes. Well, we're gonna jump all the way over. We're gonna go to St. Louis, y'all. And our next thing in honorable mentions, we are going to say congratulations to Tashara Jones. She is the St. Louis City elect mayor, the first Black woman.
St. Louis.
Come on, St. Louis. Meet me up under the arches in St. Louis, baby. So she was the city treasurer woman. My brain just went. Y'all know old age. I need some ginkgo below, but that might be helping. She was the city treasurer, so she beat Alderwoman Kara Spencer by 2,280 votes. So kudos to her. And I got a chance to see her. She was on Joy Reid, the readout yesterday? Yeah, yesterday.
Oh, beautiful.
So I got a chance to hear her speak. Very eloquent woman. She's a single parent. Kudos to her. So she has stepped into this is the time to revitalize the city. So they need her to do some stuff there. And she said in her victory speech, this campaign can unequivocally say that we've begun breaking down the historical racial barriers and the racial divides that exist and have existed for generations in our city. And you know, it's time. St. Louis, it's really a long time coming for St. Louis that this is the first time you have had a Black woman in all these, with all these Black people living there. But
that part.
With all these Black people.
St. Louis is like Atlanta, child. What?
Yes. And it's amazing. It really is amazing. So kudos to her. Boom, 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 boom.
Right, St. Louis.
Now, y'all saw this happen, and we all had different ideas of what it was, and you said so much. Tiger Woods had this devastating accident. And everybody had all kind of ideas of what it was. He was drunk, he was high, he was all of this. Well, basically what has come out, he was just driving too damn fast for the curb, for the situation, and couldn't handle the vehicle.
But I mean, okay, so I've driven that before, going back and forth, doing Lyft or what have you. And that curve, nobody does 45, first of all. I want to start off there. It's 45 mile per hour zone, but nobody does 45 coming around that curve. But
normal.
I really think he blacked out. I really do.
Because what you do around that curve? How fast you be going?
Me? Oh, good. A good 65, 70. Yeah, it's a wide open curve that you come around and go. It's not as windy as the 110, but it's a little windy, but it's like open. It's like, you know, you hit it and go. So it's like, but I really think he blacked out. I really think, I don't know, because they said that he didn't even break. They said daddy hit 87 at one point and didn't even break.
And what's
87.
The
speed? What's between 87 and 83 miles per hour.
What's the posted speed limit?
Wow. 45.
Oh, damn.
It's a 45 mile per hour speed zone. Wow. But I'm telling you, nobody goes 45 around them curves.
Wow.
So once you get towards the bottom of the hill, maybe you slow down to 45 because, you know, there's a dip and everything like that. But going around them little curves, uh-uh. And so they said he didn't even brake. They said he there was no sign that he hit the brake. So I really think he blacked out.
Some of our people at home going to get mad when I say this, but everything happens for a reason. And everything that happened, God allows for it to happen. There's a reason and there's a season for everything. So.
Explain, Lucy.
It might just be that his season for golf was over. And this was his testimony, because he's going to have to come out of this and he will have a testimony. And maybe this was God saying, here, I need to give you a wake up call.
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily think it was that was the whole thing. Number one, all this damn money that you got, why in the hell, the entire fuck, ain't you got a driver?
That part.
Taking you to all these meetings and press things and all this other stuff, you driving yourself at 7 o'clock in the morning, you're already running late for a 7:30 meeting, and you're trying to go fast. Yeah.
Because I like the need for speed. I like power. I like to drive a car.
Tiger.
I got addicted to ATVing.
Tiger. Tiger, you're worth multi-millions.
Yeah.
And you just had back surgery. So therefore, you need to take it easy. We understand if you don't want to drive yourself. We understand. Again, I really think that he took matters into his own hands. I think he was under medication. I think he blacked out coming around that curve that early in the morning and didn't even, because number one, even if you're going to lose control, you're going to hit the brake. Hello, somebody. That's a normal reaction. The first thing you do is hit the brake. There was no skid marks, no brake represented whatsoever in a little black box in the car.
What car? What kind? Oh, it was in a Hyundai too.
No, he's in a Genesis, whatever it is. The little upgrade one.
A Hyundai.
Yeah, but it's called a Genesis. Yeah. It's $73,000, but it's called a Genesis.
It's who?
But like, 73. That's the base model.
A Hyundai.
Yeah.
It's called Genesis.
But it's made by Hyundai.
I know, but it's the Hyundais are up to $40,000 now.
I know. I'm just saying, the only cars that I know that can do roads like that is BMWs, because they wide and they heavy and they made to like.
Well, not only that, but the BMWs are and BMW and Mercedes are the only cars that I know. Well, except the more expensive cars, or whatever. But those two cars are the only class that I know where the wheels actually turn with curves.
Yes,
that's why they're able to go so damn fast.
Yeah. Well,
that Genesis wasn't doing that, boo boo.
Genesis is not made for that. Genesis is not
going. It a Genesis, it's a damn Hyundai.
But it's not made to be going around like NASCAR. It's made to go like you're going to see a jazz number or something.
He hit the curb, and the first thing he hit was a damn sign.
Damn.
That should have said this.
The first thing he hit. The second thing he hit was the tree on the other side of the road. And then it started to tumble. Not flip over, but tumble first.
Boom, 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 boom,
boom, boom, about four times. Then it landed on its side.
But you mean to tell me that Genesis didn't have no AI to tell him, hey, bro, slow down.
It's a Hyundai.
I mean, like,
y'all can call the Genesis all y'all want. It's a Hyundai.
Like,
when the car, according to the reports, when the car hit the curb, it braked itself, but it was already too late.
Yeah, it was too late.
It has all the little safety. It has all the safety features. It has like 12 airbags inside. Curtain airbags, anything. That's why he's not dead, because right. them airbags deploy.
Yeah,
and I'm saved so his life. Old. But unfortunately, that engine crushed their foot and that leg, so therefore broken bones.
Well, maybe
so old. I remember when Hyundai came out, and you could buy a Hyundai for $995 brand new.
I'm telling you,
Hyundai Electra.
A Hyundai Electra, baby, and a Sonata you could get for $1,200.
Right.
$1,800 upgrade. And everybody in my school had a Hyundai. And as soon as you rolled down the window too many times, the hook came off.
Keyword, rolled down the window.
No
power. What was that? Power.
That became the sugar daddy car.
That was, baby, because your sugar daddy could buy you a car for $1,500. You got right.
the baby, don't look like a neon.
Daddy, get me a Sonata. All right, baby.
Here go some drug money. Here go $1,000. Go get you a Hyundai.
Right.
Go get you a Hyundai.
And paneling would fall off. And the window
and
would fall off.
You drove it like it was a damn Mercedes.
The window would
go back up. I said, and people didn't believe me. I said, I am old enough to remember when Hyundai came out. I was in high school, honey. And everybody was sitting there like, oh, I got a Hyundai. I got a Hyundai. You got a who?
Baby, look, sure. The first sugar daddy car was the Dodge Neon.
My sugar daddy bought me a Acura, so I don't know. I had a legend. I was in a different breed. I don't know. Baby, no,
you were in the upper class of hoes.
Upper class.
I'm about to say you were getting lazy dick, bitch, because them good dick bitches they got a couple of hoes they got to buy for, so they got to diversify the car line by getting a whole fleet of Hyundais.
Thank you, Rodney. I don't know where you are to this day, but thank you.
When you got that old grateful dick. They like, they start buying you Porsches and shit. Like, bitch, they never had.
I was so in love with him.
That's a dick that never seen much pussy.
I love Rodney. Oh, I was so in love. To be young and in love and dumb again.
I tell every dude who buy a car for them, they were like, baby, you start. I was like, do you have lazy dick? Why are you buying a Mercedes, bitch? You got it between your legs.
Love.
If you need a car to get from A point A to point B, and point B is your house, so she can give you point to her point B. Okay, so get her the Dodge Neon, roll up windows, because except on her way home to go and get McDonald's, and that's about it. Get her some good speeches because she had to get in the mood by the time she get to your house back and forth. I'm telling you, that's how you didn't know.
And I had to go. I had things to do. I had to get to school. I had
auditions. If I was a sugar daddy, I would never buy a luxury car. But no, first of all, bitch, you're not even getting a car, bitch. You're getting Uber credit.
Wasn't no damn Uber credit when I was young.
In the early 90s.
I'm talking about the 80s.
I'm sorry, the late 80s. Forgive me.
Honey, Uber wasn't even thought about.
Bitch, I know hoes that
Uber was a fat boy. It wasn't even a movement. Uber was a fat boy back then. And Lyft was what you did. Lift your ass up out of here. It didn't have nothing to do with a car or transportation.
No, I know some hoes right now who are giving it up for the food stamp card.
Lord, have
mercy. I believe it.
It's like, I'll give you a piece of pussy for a piece of the EBT. At least give me $200 in your EBT, and I'll give you a piece of pussy on Thursday.
Oh, no.
So somebody just posted up on Facebook that DMX is still alive. His manager said so. I said, and my response was, this is the same manager that said he was breathing on his own. Don't trust him.
Right.
Exactly. So I don't know. I mean, so y'all, this is, it's just, sometimes I think we're going through this stage where so many things are trying to wake people up. We keep having shootings. These Republicans keep saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with guns. And we keep having shootings on top of shootings on top of shootings on top of shootings. We've had three this week. One by an ex-NFL football player who played for the 49ers. He done went in here and killed the adults and the kids.
Just got tired.
Just got tired.
Is that CTE?
Is who?
CTE. Is that concussion syndrome? Is that why he did it?
Well, the daddy said that he felt football messed him up.
Mm, right.
Sound like CTE.
He got hurt, so I guess that's why he stopped playing. And he had played for quite a few different teams. But I mean, this is the seriousness that these old white men that just don't understand. And
it's not just old white men now.
Well, I'm talking about the people who run the NRA. The people who run the NRA are old white people.
The majority.
And they constantly pay in money to keep these senators in their pocket so they can keep doing. And like that governor that got up there in Bryan, Texas, and he was like, well, we shouldn't, nobody, gun control, you mind your business. And then the next breath, you got to get up here and say, oh my God, I'm so sorry. We just had another shooting. People have died. I'm so sorry. You look stupid.
We got to change these laws.
We got to change the laws. It just makes no sense. Why do you need an AR-57 in your house? So perfect example. One of the guys that is here with me, who is from, and I'm about to tell all his business. I'm going to tell it all. Palm Springs. He is over 475 pounds. And I'm not playing when I say I'm serious as a damn heart attack. With that.
So they kidding.
Call him Bam Bam.
Ooh, I need you to take a picture of him and post it on our page. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me see.
I got a picture. I'll share it with y'all. They call him Bam Bam. But this past week when we just got back here, he went to the pawn shop and spent $800 on a new gun and buying some goddamn ammo.
For what?
And I said, let me be real with you.
Is there a lot of deers running around in Oregon?
No, he live in Palm Springs. So I said, let me be real with you. I said, if somebody broke in your house, by the time you was able to get your ass up out the bed and get to your gun, they done shot you.
Oh,
wait a minute.
You can't
run. Wait a minute. What's that I'm hearing? Wait a minute.
And they took your video games.
They done took everything, baby. They done took everything. By the time you get your 475-pound self out of bed.
And they took your snack cakes, bitch.
And so one of the things,
hungry and mad.
And mad.
Kept saying he had been shot. And I was telling him, he was talking about people being homeless. And I said, let me tell you something. I make way more money than you. And I have been homeless and was still working every day, coming to work every day, homeless. Slept in my office, slept in my car. So don't talk about something that you have no clue to understand anything about, because you're not even in my tax bracket. We not even on the same. Y'all just hit $20. Just hit $20. I don't have any friends that drive school bus that make $20. Everybody is over 30. So don't talk about homeless, because it's not something that you know. And you spending $800 on some damn guns and some ammo to sit up in your goddamn house. And if somebody really broke in, you can't even use the shit. Because by the time you get to it, they done shot you. Because you can't run.
You got sleep apnea and everything. You got to take
You hear me? Many problems.
You got that CPAP. You got to take off and everything. You know, you got to roll out of bed. You got to make sure your legs is not asleep.
Oh, honey, his legs look like
ham
hocks.
That's what I'm saying. You got to make sure your legs not asleep, because the circulation is pretty
and
slow.
They're bright red because you have so much weight on them.
Oh.
And he drives buses.
So let me tell you, in my area, unfortunately, you know, if he'd have came to apply in my area, they wouldn't have hired him. Because on the real side, if there was an emergency, you can't even get yourself out fast enough.
You can't move fast enough, right?
The kids out.
No.
Wow.
And I know that's discrimination. So it is.
Maybe no. Look, fuck that. No,
discrimination. That's a fact. Shit.
That's a motherfucking fact. I was like, if these kids gotta
be kind.
Getting
be kind.
out of
we the are bus being kind. We're being team. Real. That's a fact. It ain't a discrimination at all. It's a fact.
Fucking fact. If that bus was on fire and those kids need to be hurled out of a damn window, what is the probability he's gonna be able to do it faster than those kids can do it themselves?
Now, what I do right. like about
come on, kid.
Large come people on. Have value too.
You well, no, it's come not on. It's not devaluing because like, you can still be big and still be able to govern your body in a way where you where you're not.
Because yeah, I want to roll over to a big man. I need a big man.
I was going to say, wait a minute, hold on, you can be big and still move.
I don't need no bones. Get your ass out of my bed.
Yeah, but I say you can still be a big ass dude and still be able to pivot.
Honey, look at Michael Strahan. I can roll.
I know a whole lot of them that can drop it and roll. What?
Hell yeah, better than me. Half is most of them,
but they're not 500 pounds.
No, because they can fucking
high threes, maybe.
What's that boy name that play? Oh, I was watching him on TMZ today. He played for the Lakers. Alex something. He was on TMZ.
He's 300-something pound?
No, I'm sure he's 300, but he's like 6'7", 6'6", something.
Oh, well, no, that don't count. I'm talking about somebody 5'10".
Oh, no. Shit.
Yeah, like I'm talking about, like, you know, when you, like, what you're describing where it's not even cankles anymore. It's just,
and the sad part is, but wait a minute. He's like, this man is like 6'2", 6'3". And still that big.
Like, I was like, when you have a hard time with self-governing, like, I like a sexy big man, but baby, I need, like, if something to happen, that's what I'm scared about. That's what I'm scared about. I'm scared of that. I'm scared shitless about that. Like, even when I was, you know, 326 pounds, you know, I was scared shitless about it. I'm like, oh my God. Like, I was like, if I'm gonna be a big dude, at least I need to fucking move fast enough. Like, I want to be a big bitch who can move.
Like that part.
Like, let me do some. Like, at least let me be Lizzo and be able to move like she move on stage. Let me be able to pop like a drop in front of her without my side hurting. Look, let me be able to still pop like a drop without my side hurting, and I'm cool with it, bitch. I keep the rest of that shit. I will lick every crease, every fold, every rock, bitch. Like, if you rock it right, bitch, like DJ Khaled, I will
lick.
You're not a DJ Khaled.
Lick.
Ugh. Yes, DJ Khaled.
Yes.
Lick. Ugh. I'm sick.
I'm scared what's under there.
Yeah, me too. Ooh.
Some goodness.
And how long it's been under there.
Like, ugh. Baby, that's some good deliciousness. And
Boy, we learn something new every show, Fernando. But all right,
sexy comes in all different sizes, bitch. And if you just big and don't give a fuck about your body, then I can't rock with you. But if you big, keep it right tight out of sight, bitch, I'm with it.
Wait, say that one again. I like that one. Right tight and out of sight. What?
Yep. Right, if you keep it right tight and out of sight, bitch.
And so y'all know I'm 6 feet, so it just.
So he's way taller than you and just 500 pounds.
Yeah.
And you know what, baby? I know some dudes right now who will break it off up in him.
So obviously nobody
has all 10, 11 inches all up in his life.
Nobody has their phones in their hands. We're always.
I seen that picture you just sent trying to shame that man.
I was sending who we talking about.
Look, shit, he looked like he about 6'5". You talking about 6'2", 6'3"?
Yeah.
I bet you got some good cake batter too.
I just got sick.
Like, all bets are off when your ass don't know how to find a soap towel or nothing. That's why I'm not with it. When your toes look like you throwing up gang signs, or you look like you've been playing kick the can with a car battery.
My thing is, when you spend $800 on that, you should spend $800 on Jenny Craig.
Well, you never know.
Right.
But you never know why that ain't his calling. But you know what? You never know why a person was there, because for me, it wasn't that. For me, it was psychological. It was emotional. Why I was big. And it was also medical. I had a hormone imbalance. I didn't fucking know.
But you did something about it. And you wasn't also a school bus driver transporting kids.
That's true.
But you did something about it. And I just, we all waste money frivolously on some stuff, but I just cannot get with $800 on some goddamn gun shit.
So is he on the same type of contract like you are? How long is he going to be up there?
Oh, they leave tomorrow. It's down to two of us now, baby. Because there was originally, 15 of us?
Uh-huh.
And then we dwindled down, and then the last three weeks.
What happened to the rest of them?
So they were from, one girl was from, she was from L.A. Her school started, so she had to go back. The people from Riverside, their school started, they had to go back. Now they're from Palm Springs, so they have to go back. And then there's me and this lady here from, she's from Washington. And I'm the one, the last man standing, because I'm the highest in seniority, so my job covers me. But I just found out.
Oh, you the boss bitch, huh?
Go ahead.
All right, head.
That's what 32 years do for you, baby. That's what 32 years get you. But we got somebody else is coming. So there is, I guess, one of the low drivers, because I was like, when they told me somebody's coming from your yard, I was like, ain't nobody coming from my yard. Them people don't want to work. They lazy. They ain't trying to work. They gonna sit there and collect that little check there. But actually, they sent over his paperwork. But I said, see, he's not from my yard. He was a San Francisco driver who transferred because he didn't have enough seniority to stay in San Francisco. So, of course, he's going to try to come here and get the guaranteed, you know, hours and get this per diem. So he'll be here whenever, whatever. But
why are you saying it like that? Y'all might could be friends.
You're not friendly.
Right. I don't need no friends. Look, this is Trump country, honey. I walk past. I ain't trying to be nobody's friend. Because, honey, the house that I pass over here all the time that had the Trump 2020, now they got a 2024 sign. And then
they're doing too much.
They need to throw a Monte cocktail in the yard. The hell?
They whole yard is Trump country. I'm sitting here like, get over it, honey. It's over. That man ain't going to make it. He's see now. He is not going to make it around to no 2024. So, and now we got that's the other thing. The Rock talking about he is seriously considering a run for the presidency.
What? No.
I can't get with this. Look, you a celebrity. Stay in your lane over there. We don't need no more celebrities. We've had enough, because people cannot get the difference between celebrity and person who can really do something and who has good ideas and get that stuff. They don't get it together.
No,
how we ended up with Trump's ass, because he was a celebrity. That's how we ended up with Ronald Reagan. He was a celebrity. Arnold Schwarzenegger, celebrity.
So you don't think our newest billionaire, Ms. Kim Kardashian, is going to run for something?
I hope she don't run for nothing. We don't need nothing she got to say.
Philanthropist, stay doing what you're doing.
We don't need to see Kardashians no more. Ain't this y'all goddamn last season on TV? Go the hell away.
Like go
there's new spinoff shows supposed to be happening now.
Like go be
we don't want it.
Go do public service. Go do public service. Go be a somebody.
Is she becoming a billionaire because of the divorce?
No. It has nothing to do with Kanye's money.
Because
it has everything to do with her makeup and her Spanx line, her body shape line, or whatever, has made her a billionaire.
You lied and said your sister was a billionaire, and you can't be a self-made billionaire when you sat on a TV show that your sister got and you got paid for that, and your parents were already rich. That is not a self-made millionaire.
Which one of the sisters, Chloe? I mean, which one is it? I forget. Should I get them something?
All I could say is, you know what? I really wish that I could have looked like a bored cum dump to and made that much money.
Well, look, all you got to do is get your mama one of your sex tapes and let her market you.
I've been trying for years, and my ass ain't never got no motherfucker.
Apparently, that's the way you get it done. Just let your mama hold you up.
Oh, shit, Ray J. Oh, mama did.
And I'm sitting here looking at Ray J.
Beginning of the beginning.
Like, okay. Y'all holler too much for the wrong reasons again.
That wasn't the wrong reason.
It wasn't like he was hitting it worth baffling about. It turned out to
profit her, did it not?
Well, yeah, she struck gold with that. Because he sure wasn't. I was like, oh my God, this bitch.
You wonder why y'all jump in bed with some of these folks.
When a bitch pussy that bored, bitch, that mean that bitch pussy is about as deep as the fucking ocean canal.
I think we're gonna have to start.
You got a fake pleasure. Oh my God, it's amazing. Like, that means your pussy's bored.
Y'all hear what I said? We're gonna have to start a reality show.
Really?
And what is it called? The Last Queen.
The what?
The Last Queef.
What the hell is a queef?
Go ahead, Fernando. Tell him what a queef is.
Oh my God. Look at the gold star gay. He doesn't know what a queef is.
He does not
know. What the hell is a queef?
And he doesn't eat barbecue.
Okay. Definition of what a queef is basically.
Let's start with how you spell it.
I don't know if I can do that. But
damn.
I don't think nobody knows.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Spelling Bee. Little Fernando. He's going for his first word. And your word, Fernando, is queef. Go.
And I'm Aquila.
Fuck you.
Oh, my God.
Aquila, I knew that would get y'all. It seems to
kill. Come on, Aquila, in your braids. What?
What the hell is that?
Queef is a vaginal fart. It's basically when you're like, there's so much air going in from thrusting from sometimes anally in or vaginally, it causes the air has to go somewhere, so it comes out like a fart.
So, hey, scary.
So it's a
what is a queef?
It's a vaginal and
anal fart. I found this on the web for what is a queef. Check it out.
It's spelled Q-U-E-E-F. Siri knows how to spell it.
Oh, well, nice.
Little Chris, no using your devices. Little Chris, no using your devices.
Oh, my God.
This is a spelling bee, not a computer lineup.
This is virtual, so I can't.
So if I was like, if you know what a queef is, bitch, you know what Cipro is, too.
Uh-huh. What? Look, y'all.
That's the treatment that you get after you had too much queefing.
You said,
oh.
Okay, now we moved on to Fernando's new show, A Matter of Sex. We done moved on to the wrong show. Oh, Fernando, you're still coming. You're still in production. Hold on.
I know, right?
We moved on to your show.
I'm about to say, Cipro is like what they treat minor gonorrhea with.
Child, y'all learn something new all the time on the film.
Every show.
Right.
Tune in. Share us. You learned something.
It's going to be something emerging soon because, you know, we have a shortage of STI treatments because they used a lot of antibiotics for COVID. So that's been a high amount of spread of gonorrhea because that's a lot of the antibiotics they were using. For gonorrhea, it was used in the COVID treatment. So
that's the one that's getting aggressive, like the regular ones starting to not work on it.
You know why? It's because people thought that oral was you can't transmit nothing through oral. What you don't realize is that you can actually transmit throat gonorrhea.
You can transmit anything through the. If you got.
Yes, well, people don't think about that, so they think head is fine. So everybody was going around getting head for COVID because they thought that was safer. You leave your mask on, and that's all you're using is your mouth. But they don't realize that you can. So basically, everybody who had dick gonorrhea now have throat gonorrhea, and there was nobody getting treated for none of it. So that's why it's been getting so bad, is because no one was going to the doctor, nor did they have any medication to treat it. So it's been mutating and getting worse and worse. So it's common. And
well, I thought it was getting worse and worse because it kept happening and they kept using antibiotics, and the disease was getting used to the antibiotics that we were given. So you had to get more and more aggressive antibiotics to get rid of
that. Well, that was the beginning of it, which is because the thing is that we were still able to treat it. And so what they do is just double. What they would do is double the dose. Like you would just get like a two series dose series, which sucks ass. Double you had to get a shot in each ass cheek. Essentially.
Oh hell no.
So it just take a lot longer for it to go. Shouldn't
fuck with that nasty bitch. I told you don't go over the house. Every time she call you, you run your ass over there. I told you. Now you gonna get a shot.
Well, here's the thing is that what's the thing is that you have to look at all these STDs the same way you look at COVID. We could have already came with herd immunity already with a lot of STIs, but since we stigmatize it so much, and we keep having too many strains and mutations of it that we can't really contain it. However, we could have already created a vaccine for it already, but we can't contain it because of all the stigmatization that goes on with treatment. I mean, there is a treatment that's being has become much more mainstream soon, probably right after COVID, is using Cipro, which is they use it for bacterial infections, but it is most commonly used to treat low-grade gonorrhea because it actually gets rid of it within like 1 or 2 days versus 7 days. So if you start getting and right now online, there's like these 30-minute clinics that you can go online and get Cipro online now. So if you ain't got to go to your doctor for gonorrhea. So that's going to be a emerging thing coming up soon, but that's
awesome. Just say you ain't got, I can't. You ain't got a child, y'all at home. So if y'all get gonorrhea, you ain't got to go to your doctor. Fernando just told us that you can go online and you tell that doctor on that virtual, I think I have gonorrhea. I think I have a discharge or something.
the thing is because they have to look at it the same way. We laugh about it and we joke about it, but like it ain't fucking no different than COVID. You know where it came from? Us not being hygienic enough to deal with shit. So we done rubbed it, put it in our mouths, we done sniffed it, we done licked it, we done did everything with it. That's we call it COVID. The same thing with STDs. We stuck it in us, around us, all over us, and we did nothing about it. It's a bacteria infection, the same bitch in the same room, just doing two different things.
Wow.
One wearing a wig and one wearing a lace front.
Right, Rona Jean and Rona Marie.
Exactly, but they're both bacteria infections and they both some bad bitches. One we can live with and one want to get one.
Wait, I thought coronavirus was a virus.
It's a bacteria virus. It's a bacteria infection. It's a bacterial virus.
Look, I didn't get that much attention. I'm gonna need you to zoom in because I'm liking that mask.
There it is.
Mask. Who makes that?
Oh, hold on. Let me see if I can show you. It's a K95. Let me see. They come in these cute little packages.
He's on location. He's jet setting, honey. He's about to hop on a plane, y'all.
We stay airborne.
We're live at the airport. What airport are you at, Amara?
I am at SFO.
SFO, baby.
SFO.
I do not want to be no airport. No.
They come in these nifty packages.
Well, that's cute. Where'd you get it?
Oh, you know, Jeff Bezos brought it right over to the house.
All right, Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm. You can't keep Jeff out your life. No. Man got a hold on us.
Oh, that's send me the link.
That's the only place he can stay alive. He can stay in.
Send me the link. I like it. Because I broke my black one the other day when we were ATVing because I didn't realize when I put the helmet on that I still had it hooked to my ear. And so I kept trying to figure out what was hanging off the side of me and I yanked it and the little the holes it in place came off and that bad boy came from Nordstrom. So that was that good fabric, everything. So I'm like, oh, I can't. Y'all, if y'all can see at home, I'm telling y'all, I want a screenshot sometime. Fernando has given us some fabulous earrings right now, baby. He is accessorizing for the show.
And they're not actually, they're actually not earrings. They're actually hooks for my weights in my downstairs.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Miss Rochelle Farrell.
Yes. But
you better do it. Do it, man. Don't
do it. You do weight hooks.
Huh? What?
I'm giving you a Thunderdome right now.
Come on, Mad Max.
Okay. Yeah. I actually watched a documentary.
Hey, okay, hold on, pause. What do you think? How'd you like it?
Whoa,
that was a documentary. Here we go. Fernando weigh in.
That was intense. That was really intense. And I understood where she was coming from with it, because it's very indicative of what a lot of women and a lot of people in general, like, you know, when you want to stick with somebody because you know that they couldn't make it on their own, so it's more like, you know, in the name of unwavering, unfiltered, unbridled care and nurture that she felt obligated to for him. And as she said, her word was a word, and where she came from, that meant everything. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing is that, you know, like, you know, she was, you know, as much as he wanted what he wanted, she wanted what she wanted, but not at that price, not at that cost, you know, but understanding that's what it came with. And that's what, you know, and the thing is that, like, I appreciate it for what she said, that she said not all of it was bad. You know, she's like, I'm not going to completely wash my entire past and say that it didn't happen because I wouldn't be here. So it was really good to hear a full circle story, because you've seen so many pieces of it, you know, and I think it was so important for people in general to understand, like, you know, the psychology of stuff like that, especially for young celebrities as well.
I think they would really gain a lot of respect for her, just for seeing that. But like you said, she said that it wasn't all bad. We started off good, like every relationship. You start off wonderful, you know, and then by the time she realized that it was bad, there was already kids involved. There was already everything involved. But she cannot take away. She said that she cannot take away that Ike was the one who put her on the main stage like that, and yeah, gave her the feeling that she could actually be heard as an artist on stage. So she couldn't take that away. But, like, you know, the only thing that she wanted when she left was her name, because they knew her as Tina Turner. Exactly. She couldn't start back as Anna Mae Bullock all over again. I mean, yeah, can you imagine if we was calling her Anna Mae?
and the thing is, from her perspective, from what I got from it, I was like, you know, this is a woman who kind of had a back up against the wall. You know, her mom.
Yeah.
She didn't have a mama who cared for her too much up until her death. Like, right, just the way she talked about her, and the way she referred to her, or referred mm-hmm. about her. She was like,
she said her mama didn't even like her.
No,
right. She did for her mama, bought her a house, right, bought her a car. All that.
I only wanted the money. That's all she wanted from it.
I think that was some.
She loved her success. She didn't love her.
But I think that was the mama's broken story. That she couldn't find her way up over and around. But, you know, Tina Turner, what could she have done? You know, like, you know, you don't feel safe with not safe, but emotionally safe with your mother, and you can't be emotionally safe with the man that you chose. So I couldn't imagine being a woman in her place. Couldn't imagine.
And see, you know, now, being a woman, where we are now, you don't deal with your family, because if it comes to your sanity, you cut your family off now.
Yeah.
It's a whole new ball game.
But the thing,
cut my family off. For me to stay sane, I will get rid of you so fast.
And the thing is, like, you have, like, you know, like, you know, that pendulum is getting a really, really, you know, sharp to, like, you know, you got to find a balance of where, when, and why you need to walk away from certain people, even your own family.
Got to walk away for your sanity.
Sometimes you do, because sometimes the ones that are supposed to be the closest to you, the ones you should be keep further away, you know. And if you don't know that to be true, just look up, get a telescope, go look at the planets. That's how we all survive, bitch. Do you see all the other planets huddled against near Earth? No, bitch. You know why we get along? Because we are hundreds of millions of miles away from each other. That's why we all like all the planets. They're so pretty to us. But them the bitches was in our vicinity. You know what the motherfuckers would do to us? You know, So that's what I said. You know, if you want to know how to deal with relatives, sometimes you gotta put them light years away from your ass just to keep alive.
Exactly. Now, the other thing that got me, work on your sanity, honey. Work on your own sanity. Focus on you. And it took the thing, Tina, what got her to build her up and get her was when she started chanting. And if that's
now your whole ridiculous.
If that's what it takes for you to get the strength to get out of the situation you're in, then I need you to do that. I need you to do whatever is going to take you to get you to safety.
And the message behind the chant for me to understand it, like, and I've been saying this since high school. It's like, since I started my first company in Atlanta, you can't be everything to everybody, but you can be somebody to someone, and that someone starts with you. And so you have to look in the mirror every single day, because nothing happens in your world if you stop spinning. If your world ends, then everything that you hold near to you and dear to you no longer revolves around you anymore, because you're not there for it to keep pushing, keep influencing. We're all influencing each other every small, big way. We all matter in this world. If you stop looking at yourself as if you don't matter, then your life will perish as if it never mattered. So be good to yourself first. And if being good to yourself first means looking at your truth, no matter how ugly it is, say, I love you anyway, bitch. Like we rub around the edges, look at yourself in the mirrors like, bitch, we look at you. Lord have mercy, you're a hot mess, but we gonna stick with each other. You don't, it's the only body you got.
That is the truth right there. So, y'all, our boy is traveling, so we're gonna lose him in a second. Our mind is going to disappear, y'all. He is
on in the night.
He's on his way to somewhere close to me, but yet he ain't come to see me. So I'm still feeling some kind of goddamn way about it.
Oh, whatever.
I'm in Hickville, honey.
You'll live.
Come see me in Hickville.
You'll live, baby.
Don't feel away. Don't feel away.
I was excited the other day. I saw two black women.
You know what's funny? I ain't gonna lie, though.
Cousin!
I'm done now. Let's talk about that for a hot second. So I'm not the only one. When you're in like a predominantly white area, you see the black person, just one or two. You're like, okay, you see each other, bitch, don't you? You see me, right? Okay, good.
How y'all doing?
You want to run over and hug them? What?
Ready?
You about to hug them?
Over and hug them.
We may not know you, but bitch, at least look. We know that. Okay, we're here, right? Okay, you see me, right? Okay.
And even if I saw a Shanae, I'd be, hey, Shanae.
Bitch, if I'm in a Walmart and I'm the only, and I had never passed a black person in at least 20, 30 minutes, I'm gonna start looking for a black person. I know that sounds horrible.
But it ain't even one to look for here. I've been here, what, since January? And that was the first two women that I've seen walking the street.
If I'm in one of those kind of...
You should have took a picture.
Those kind of neighborhoods, baby.
There was a black guy that was working with us, but that boy called in. He was 22. He called in every damn other day. He had some kind of issue, and last week, I think right when we got back, they let him go. And I mean, it's justifiable. You called in too many times. But the sad part about it, he just bought a brand new truck.
Well, they gave him the job that he wanted, customer.
Oh, well.
So, I don't know, but y'all, when you're in Hickville, I mean, there's no black people here. The one boy.
It makes me nervous. I know that sounds real.
Makes you nervous? Yeah, hell yeah, it makes
me. It makes me like if I don't have like a white friend next to me or something, like, you know, like if I'm the only person of color in the room, I start searching for the black person. I know that sounds really horrible, but I've been doing it for years, and I'm gonna open it.
There's none to search for here.
I mean, on the West Coast, they ain't gonna talk to you no damn way.
That's the
bad part.
Shit, you go to DC and them motherfuckers like I start looking for the white folks, the black folks there for sure ain't trying to holler at you.
Honey, everybody talks to me. I'm amazing.
Actually, you know what? Most everybody do talk to me. Hell, half the black folks don't talk to my black ass anyway. They're like, oh, you skin folk. I'm like, well, okay. See you at 2 o'clock in the morning, face down, ass up.
Oh, I can't.
Oh my.
I can't. So,
and I'll see you next to the collection plate.
And our other topic for the evening.
Yes.
The last topic for this evening that we're going to talk about.
See, it's a collection plate, bitch.
Is Sean Puffy Combs, Diddy, whatever he is this week, whatever he is next week.
What name does he go by today?
Well, the first article, it says Sean Combs. The second article says Diddy. So I don't know what we are. It's whatever. But
we're going to say Sean Diddy Combs. Go ahead.
Sean Diddy Combs. Okay. We're going to Diddy that. We're going to Diddy it up.
So, he's going to be like one of them black churches one day. You know that long-ass black-ass church name? He's going to be one of those one day.
Sean Puff Daddy Diddy Combs, whatever.
Yeah.
Puff Daddy. Yeah, he got a lot. But he made a good statement the other day, and he slammed General Motors, and he's basically demanding that we have some racial equity in America's economy. And I thought that this was the perfect time. So many corporations come after the black dollar, but yet you don't hire blacks. Your advertising is only black when you want something from the black community. And when you don't want nothing, it goes right back. And forget to realize is a lot of African Americans build up these brands because we spend a lot of money.
Let's go ahead and run down just in automotive alone. Let's go ahead and run down the gamut. Cadillac.
Baby, every black person, Lincoln. Every black pastor got a Cadillac. Every black pastor got a Cadillac.
Range Rover.
Every celebrity.
Jaguar.
Every celebrity.
You know, like, I'm just naming all the black staples that I've known. And then they all have benefited off of the black dollar. Not only that, but the black persona, because none of them knew what a black rim was, or none of that low riding, low kits, none of that stuff. They were doing that shit in the 90s. Now all of a sudden it comes as a factory feature. I'm like, all them ideas you done got from half the Latinos and black folks and Asians, I'm like, you didn't give them a motherfucking dollar, but you done, basically they became all your standard features in your cars now.
And he talked about, he penned an open letter stating to them that you guys are spending advertising money with all these other agencies, but how many black-owned agencies did you
boom, that part?
How yeah. many black-owned agencies did you give your spending dollars to for none. The community that supports you?
None. Let me tell you, did I tell you how many black creative directors there are? I had to be a self-proclaimed black creative director because they wasn't giving my black ass no creative director unless it was when the party was over and they had no budget and no money and they gave it to me and patronization only to take my fucking work, remix it and put it white and then I took all my name off of it just like they were doing a long time ago with every fucking movie writer that was out there.
And I'm glad he started with General Motors because General Motors is Detroit. Detroit is predominantly black.
Oh,
predominantly the people that worked in there in the car dealer in the factories were black. So you didn't give back to the community that helped put the billions of dollars in your pocket because you got billions.
They just took more money from them. That's all they did was build more places to go and put more cars to sell it to more black people to take more money to sell them shit that they couldn't afford and did nothing for the neighborhoods and nothing for the equity divide in their companies.
And what I just, this is what I've always said for the longest part that really it boggles me is just like this in the entertainment industry. So many people will continue to run to other venues, other directors and stuff like that, where they'll be the only Black person on the set. But when we ask you to produce stuff with more predominantly Black folks in it, you call it the Chitlin Circuit and you start talking all crazy. But so what do you call Regina King after one night in Miami? Because I didn't see nothing Chitlin Circuit about that.
And but, you know, it becomes that the industry circle. And nowadays, it's the root is still in that racial divide in that conversation, but and now it has the color lines have gotten a little blurred where it's not only just the racial bias, but you're also getting that implicit bias, that inherent nepotism too. I'm saying that because you get people in the industry who made it of color, and they hire either their friends or the people that they were told to hire, and all of a sudden all the movies and all the shows they start to fucking look alike because they all hired the same friend that had all the same fucking conversation and had all the similar ideas, and now they got spinoffs of every fucking show that all look like they came from the same exact story.
And that's why we got the great people like Lena Waithe coming out, who is creating stuff that is freaking amazing. And what's the old girl's name? Yvette Lee Bowser, the lady that did Living Single.
Yeah, Bowser.
She has something coming out. I just think,
I mean, there's so much Black leadership content coming out within the next year or two. I just hope it's received in the industry. That's all I can say. It can come out all it wants to, but I just hope it's received in the industry. I mean, it's like someone said, there was a reporter that posted up the other day how Chadwick Boseman is winning all these awards and stuff, post-anonymous, and it's like, do you think that he would have won the awards if he was still alive? And no. someone chimed in and said, well, number one, he was a good actor. Number two, he had a good body of work that really never really got too much recognized. So now he's getting recognition. And then the guy went on to say, okay, so that may be true, but okay, how do you feel about the acceptance speeches that his wife has been giving? Because, you know, basically she's been in tears every time.
Yeah, I did notice that.
And so the Black reporter said, well, the thing about it is the fact that this is still fresh. It hasn't even been, has it been a year yet?
No.
I don't think it's been a year. I think it's coming up on a year, I think in April or so. But it hasn't even really been a year since he passed, and it's real fresh. And it's like now it hits her even more so, because now you want to recognize this man who had sleepless nights and was reading scripts, and we were having fights and arguments and things like that. This was the first time she said this for the NAACP Awards, on how it's amazing to me how we recognize our own when they can't hear us say it. And that's, you know, I just want to thank everyone from NAACP, but it's also the thing of, you know, I thank you, number one, because you took the time to recognize my husband while he was alive. But we're getting all these accolades all over the world. He's just not only winning here in the States, he's winning things over in Europe and all these other places that would have you for this performance, which was a good performance. Mm-hmm. I can't really say, I've only seen like maybe two other movies for the ones that are going up against him, but for what I've seen, Chadwick was a good performance. Second would be the Sound of Metal, the guy. But
everything that Chadwick has done has been good. He was a really talented actor, and it showed. His acting ability showed in every role. You didn't find him being the same. He could show different characters and not look the same. Like I say about Gabrielle Union, y'all, everything she looked the same. But he didn't right. do that. He
on look on this show, we got that heat for Gabby. On this show, we always got that heat for Gabby.
No, just saying the truth. I'm just telling the truth. The ability to jump from one character to another, and where you see totally different, and you don't see any characteristics of the last character that he played. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But the sad part is we continue to be in this situation because a lot of people, once they make it, they don't want to go back. They would rather go back and help a person that is of non-color before they help somebody else. Because look how long it took for Regina King to be in the slums, building her way up. And we knew she could act. We knew she had the chops. We knew she had it. And it was so amazing that they did a reunion the other morning. And I don't know, I guess I watched it on YouTube or something, from 227. So yeah. Martha Gibbs, Jack K. Harry, Regina King, Lester, and the guy who played the, I can't remember his name.
Calvin, yeah, the guy.
Calvin. And Regina sat there and was talking about how much she learned from being up under Marla Gibbs. And she didn't know, because she was young at that time, that she was getting professionalism. So now that when she walks onto a set, because Marla came from a serious show that had money behind it. So she was like, we structured, this is what we're gonna do. So now she can go on to a set, and what she learned on that set, she can take and she gives to other people now to show. She said, because I was just a kid. I just was in awe of who the ladies I was working with, because Jack K's comedic timing is amazing. It was just like she was on it. There was no pause. You didn't get any of that. But what I love about them is that they continue to help and develop other people, because Jack A went on again and did it with Sister, and she helped Tia and Tamara grow into who they are. That's what I'm saying about us giving back, but we have to give back even more, because how many more people give back? Sometimes it gets limited. And that's why I feel what P. Diddy was saying is that we give and give and give to other communities, but how many communities give back to us? How many of them step back and say, hey, let's help them out? But if we don't do that, if we're not going to get help, then we need to help ourselves more.
I was just about to say, we keep on pouring money into their companies. Even when they don't give to us, we go and we purchase things from other places and buy things from, you know, people that support Trump, so to speak, and you know, support gun rights and everything like that. And we go and we run and we support them, whatever, and we're giving them our dollars. Without our dollars, they would feel the pain. They would feel the hurt.
Exactly. And that's the thing that we have to do. When they were talking about we need to boycott, and you see, was it Delta? That Delta was the first one that jumped up and said, in Georgia, this voting law is not right, because Delta is based in Georgia. That's a big area for Delta. And you know, you have a lot of African-American and people of color employed in your business.
Right.
That could shut it down. And I'm like, sometimes when we should protest, we don't protest about the right things. And there are many, many, many advertising companies that have come up. They're just like, there's many tech companies that have come up, and nobody puts any funding into the tech companies. Well, how do you expect for the African-American and people of color communities to come up in the tech world if you're not putting money into them and you're not giving them the latest experience of technology that's going on, but you're giving it to everybody else and you keep them stifled?
Now, let's back it up just a hair second, because there's also another part of that equation. When you are, when you do get that chance and the opportunity, no matter how hard it is, a person of color, you also need to be conscious of that blind spot of when other people of color, you know, approach you, you know, either for, you know, help, mentorship, or you know, to actually support you, and you know that you don't, you're not so fucking busy that you can't accept, receive, and hear any of it. And then you become the person that you try so hard to work to be the opposite of. You stop, you work so hard to not be the white guy that now you are the white guy, just in the dark skin.
Oops.
And I'm saying that because it comes from personal experience being a young entrepreneur in Atlanta, Georgia, and in San Francisco, and have worked with, entrepreneurs of color, of many colors, Black, Indian, you name it. And they have been good, bad, and some motherfucking shitty ones, like to the point where I had to go and file a lawsuit against somebody in another fucking country. You know how hard it is to fucking law to somebody in another fucking country who skips off to another country and owes you money? That's fucking hard. And so, like, that's what I'm saying. Don't paint it to a broad brush. That it's just like Black folks, people of color don't do shady shit too. You gotta watch, I'm just saying on our rise to success.
All you got to do is go to a Black
get rolled into the place that we have worked so hard to get away from. We don't want to be the man that we try to erase or get rid of. You know, when we complain about the man got us down, we don't want to become that man. That's what I'm saying.
Go to a Black restaurant and it's going to take 2 hours for you to get your food. You ain't figured this out and all this.
All right.
I'm talking about professionalism, no matter what color you are. Professionalism all the way. Look, I have been broke as a joke and just put it with duct tape and hot glue. Look, if drag queens could put on a fucking good show with dollar store earrings and a glue gun, bitch, you can fucking do it at your chicken shop. If that's all you can fucking do is buy the fucking menu for Popeyes and you can't fry chicken, Popeyes chicken right. And that's all you gotta do is start a fucking recipe, then you need to not be a Black ass entrepreneur. You need to go back and talk to your mama and like, why I can't fry chicken, mama?
I'll teach you the ruse tomorrow night. My name.
That's
is
what I'm saying. You know, on our way to Black excellence, don't half step it by not doing right by us for ourselves. Because we don't want to be in that corner where we're sitting here with picket signs facing us, telling us that we look at the damage that we have done. So we don't want to be in that place, in that space, being hypocrites.
Ooh.
All right now.
Good night, friends. I have to go.
Send a postcard.
Safe travels. Safe travels. All right, Color Purple.
But that's the longer term story because I'm like, again, you know, like we have the potential of doing so many amazing things because we're good at it. People of color have shown time in history that we are amazing people, amazing creatures. We have abilities that we can do insurmountable things. And I don't want us to get to be a picture of our hard work being that we had to take shortcuts, like not doing serving ourselves well. So, you know, if another person of color is like, hey, my brother, I don't have the money for you, but I'm a good ass designer. Then you know what? Take the time of day to go look at the person's work. Don't go just say, oh, he's a graphic designer, he can do anything. No, go investigate the work. If that work don't look like Coca-Cola, if it don't look like the stuff that you seen on TV, that may not be your dude. It don't have to cost you $1 million to look like $1 million. Time of history has taught all of us that, you know what, especially as Black people, we know how to put it on. And don't have to have much nothing in our pocket. We can go like $1 million with less than $20 in our pocket. We know how to make it work. So I think that, you know, us as growing entrepreneurs, people in the industry, like what P. Diddy said, like we need to see more of our faces in these spaces. But we also want to make sure that we're not pushing each other down in that process.
So true. Lift up. Elevate.
Don't forget about each other. Don't forget about each other. Cause like we don't be looking at your kinfolk like he the wrong folk. Some people just come up to you and say, hey, I like help a brother out. I got talent too. Just take some time and space and look at their shit. Hell, do it on the toilet if you got to.
Oh Lord.
But again, find the time because it's worth it.
Make the time, yeah.
Exactly, like, because a lot of us, I remember Don Lemon said this, because somebody was smiling, like, oh my God, that speech the girl did for the inauguration speech. He's like, no, she is one of many talented Black girls. One of many. Don't say that she's just she's not the arbiter of every Black girl, because she's not every Black girl. She's that Black girl. There are many, many talented Black people. And I love that he made that statement, because it's like every time we get one celebrity, we think that's all we got. That's our pinnacle. No, we are extremely diverse, talented people. We just need to be
diverse over here. At the best point of view, yes, we are. We're diverse.
Oh yeah,
diversity is a necessity.
We just need to be witness, baby. Just give us the microphone and the fucking light. Just give us time and space. We'll show you.
What we gonna do? Well, the world is opening up, so y'all, we will be out there. Well, the world is opening up slowly but surely. Lamont is on his way to getting fully vaccinated. He's our test dummy for right now.
Oh, that's right. This Monday is my second shot, and I will be fully vaccinated with Moderna.
My second shot is on the 22nd. I have my good old Pfizer.
I'll be waiting for the pill. When the pill comes out, I'll be taking the pill.
I have Pfizer.
Take a pregnancy pill.
I'm wearing Pfizer. You know what's funny? And you, like, I wonder what dogs are looking at and say, like, are they walking around saying they vaccinated? Don't we get vaccinated all the time? And we got our papers and shit. Like, are they they walking around like, I got vaccinated.
Oh, well,
while
we're talking about dogs, let's give a shout out to Donald Lawrence. Donald Lawrence has one of the cutest little dogs, Deja. And he had Deja all dressed up.
Deja Marie, yes.
Deja was just beautiful in her royalty. She's a princess. So shout out to that. Okay. And y'all know what to do. Continue to share the podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following. We appreciate you. Because without you,
yes,
be nothing.
I know.
Nothing.
We love you.
Y'all,
be sure to share us.
Safe travels for Armand as he travels. And, you know, I'm going to catch up.
Praying for DMX.
Pray for DMX.
You know what? And if anything, pray for yourself. Just give yourself some peace of mind. It's like, you know what? Every day is not guaranteed to us, but the moment you open your eyes up, at least you got today. So let today be your prayer of thanks that you have air in your lungs, and you get to do something different, do something better for yourself because you're here. And don't take that for granted. So, you know, if anything else about DMX, just remind yourself that you're here for a reason. And you know, every single day that you open your eyes is opportunity to start something new, do something better. And better starts with you.
Make sure you also drop a prayer in for Vision LA. Pastor Sammy Haynes, y'all remember him? He was on our show. Y'all pray for, that's my pastor. That's my pastor, Vision Church of Los Angeles. So y'all.
Right, Vision.
Y'all pray for him. And y'all pray for us that we endure through all of this. We are out. Y'all have a wonderful weekend, a wonderful week, and we'll see you all again next week.
Peace. Love y'all.
Peace.